liberty, and justice for all.
Thank you very much. A roll call, please.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Mr. Bryson?
Present.
Mr. Edwardson?
Here.
Deputy Mayor Gladyszewski?
Here.
Ms. Hale?
Here.
Ms. Hughes Gandies?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Ms. Treem?
Here.
Mayor Weldon?
Okay, thank you very much. The first order of business is a special order of business. Mr. Bartholomew is going to come up and talk about Robin Potter, who's unfortunately retiring. Come on up, both of you. There's a microphone right here. If you could use that, that would be great.
Thank you. So what we wanted to do was just take a few minutes to recognize Robin's tour of duty with the city. So after a career as a real estate agent broker in Arizona and then going to work in the assessor's office in Maricopa County, thankful to grandkids in Juneau, we got Robin to migrate up to Juneau. So she joined CBJ in 2006, became the assessor in 2007. So she's been the assessor for 12 years. And a few wounds probably to show for it, but she did great. And I'll just point out two accomplishments. One that I was here for, and one, I think I was here for both. So the first one was basically implementing the enterprise system that we're using today. So we went from a system that was designed somewhat just for assessment to one that was designed to do 15 things. And it worked all across the city, so Robin led her staff and that implementation. And we're up and running on it today, and we share the same data with the community development department, with the tax division, with the assessors. So that was a major accomplishment. And anybody who's been involved in a software migration knows that if you can do it under budget, you did great. And the other item was one where it was probably my most nervous time in my career as the finance director. And that's when we remodeled all the land values in June. So how do you get everybody's attention? It's change the value of their land. And so it was something that the state assessor had said we needed to do. We were definitely living in what's called the old days and not having a consistent system, a process where you can do mass appraisal. How are you going to do 13,000 parcel appraisals every year? So you have to have a system and a process. So Robin took that on. We put it out. All heck broke loose. And 6 weeks later, everyone realized, oh, yeah, there's some things that need to be adjusted. But overall, we were much better off, and we benefited from it. So it's just, again, Robin's background, her knowledge, we benefited from. And so I appreciate it. We're actually having a more fun going away party Friday afternoon where she'll get some gifts, and you're welcome to come for a potluck noon Friday. So I just wanted to take a minute and thank Robin. I appreciate your service to the city, and offer you a chance to say a few words.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Before I say anything else, I got to tell you that when Bob Bartholomew became my boss, my world changed for the better drastically. So he's one of the best bosses I've ever had. So, I think I would have left a long time ago. So I did. I came up here. I had never been an assessor before, but I worked for one of the largest government entities in Arizona, which was Maricopa County. And I worked straight for the modelers. And when I came up here, your larger municipalities, Anchorage, Fairbanks, Mat-Su, had already begun doing that, like the rest of the country is doing, but Southeast hadn't done that yet. They didn't have the people trained to do it. And that's what Bob's talking about. I knew I had to get models set up here so that like is like, and it's done by neighborhood and location. I put it out in 2013. I even had the state assessor come down here to help defend me because I was going to be run out of town on the rail. But what ended up happening, they warned me in Anchorage, they had done it in 2008. They said, the first year, it's going to be a storm. They said, just stand firm and get it worked out. We had to do that at the same time we were doing government implementation. And the system we had to work on before that was a little CAMA system, but it hadn't been configured. So they were plugging numbers in there, but it was more like a database than anything else. It didn't do any work. Govern was purchased. Govern does do the work. But you've got hundreds, thousands of fields that you have to fill in, and you basically got to do it by hand. And this year, I'm finishing it this week, the downtown land model, which is the last of the 23 neighborhoods to be put in on base rates. And I have to tell you, and I learned this also in Arizona, people, if they're patient enough to understand what you're doing and let you explain it to them, they are very supportive. It was just the ones that said, you people, and you're taking my money, and this and that. And those were tough, but I've made a lot of progress here. So my next thing, when I retire, I'm going to become an activist. And I'm going to push real hard for some things I wasn't allowed to do. it's been a very interesting 13 years. It's the hardest work I've ever done in my life. 3 months after I got hired, the doctors told me I was going to have a heart attack and I should quit this job. And I still hung it out until this year. Now I can't remember anything I said 5 minutes ago. It's time for me to go. Anyway, thank you so much. I know quite a few of you here on the assembly panel, and hope to get to see the rest of you, because I'm going to stay here, but I'm going to kind of snowbird it. So.
Thank you. I talked with someone who met with you today and praised you.
Yes. Oh, okay. I know who he was.
Yes. He was very pleased.
He was happy.
Good. Yes. I'm glad.
Yes. Okay, thanks. That's always fun. Approval of minutes, March 4th and March 14th. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that we approve March 4th, 2019. And March 14th, 2019, there were just a very few grammatical errors that we worked out, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Okay, hearing no objection, that's approved. Manager's request for agenda changes. Madam Manager?
Yes, Madam Deputy Mayor, I have two requests. On ordinances for introduction, item C and item G both recommend that the ordinances be introduced and referred back to the Committee of the Whole, and I am requesting that they be introduced and scheduled for public hearing at the next regularly scheduled meeting, which would be July 22nd.
Item C and item...
C is in Charlie, G is in Golf.
C is the assisted living for senior citizens. We did hear that twice at the Committee of the Whole, and then the other one is the marijuana ordinance 2019-29. Is there any objection to that?
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
I would object to G being changed. I think we had pretty significant discussion at the Committee of the Whole related to smoking and what that implications might be for our smoking ordinance in terms of other private clubs and for tobacco smoke. And I don't think we have worked that out yet. And I don't think we want to work that out at the public hearing. We need to work that out in committee. It doesn't mean that we can't get it to the July meeting, but at this point, I still think it has to go back to the committee of the whole.
Is there any objection to leaving the recommendation to the committee of the whole and then to the assembly in July 22nd?
Just for G.
Okay, so we'll, that will be the...
If that, thank you for the clarification.
Okay, thank you very much. So then the... okay, public participation on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk. See who signed up. Thank you very much. All for non-agenda.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
Public hearings.
If this is okay. Is the person who signed up for zoning, is that non-agenda or is that something on the agenda? Gotcha. Brian.
It's non-agenda.
Non-agenda. Okay. So there's seven. So if we could do 2 minutes.
Sure. How many minutes?
Two. There's seven folks, so. Pat White. We'll start with Pat White.
Hi. Good evening. My name is Pat White. And the address, is that right? I live on Thane Road, 6105 Thane Road, one of the impacted neighborhoods of tourism. So I've come tonight to give you results of an empirical observational study conducted from April 28th to June 21st of this year. The study site is from Mill Street, the rock dump, to Main Street. The methods of study were experiential and observational, taken while driving or biking through the area. The results are conclusive. 8,000 visitors a day are better than 20,000 visitors a day. Less impact on, less gridlock from Main Street, less noise from combustible engines, less observable air pollution. So let's cap the daily visitor quota at 8,000 for more enjoyable outcomes. An attempt at a humorous take on an increasingly important topic. How many is too many? Do we know what the industry has planned for Juneau? Do we, as a city, have the ability to impact those decisions? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Paula Terrell and then Sue Schrader.
Members of the Assembly, my name is Paula Terrell, 4970 Thane Road. on June 3rd, there was testimony from some of us that were on the steering committee of the Juneau JNAP, anyway, about some of the things that we had found and learned in a meeting that we had at the library. And at that time, Kim Metcalf read a list of items that she and the rest of us would like to see the city address. Since that time, the only comment or help that we have seen is because Beth McEwen has been working on getting us some permit information. Other than that, we have not heard a word from the Assembly. We have not had any acknowledgement of any of these items. And I'm asking you to please put this as a priority and not to shirk away from it. And just as an aside, when tourism first came to Juneau, I was very supportive. And I was supportive for a long time, but what has happened has become untenable. And I said that in my testimony on June 3rd. So I'm here to say you have a copy of this. I mean, I can read it off of the various things that we were asking to have researched or to have gotten information to us. We have not heard a word from anybody. And that, frankly, is what's happened for 20 years or more. And I have to make a correction. I just have to make one correction, Maria. I made a mistake. And in my testimony, and it's in writing, I referred to the group that I was working with 25 years ago, something like that.
20.
As the Juno Tourism Partnership. That's wrong. It was Collaboration Juno. And I just made a mistake. So I just want to get the record straight on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Paul, can I ask you, is that emailed, that document in your hand? Is that a document that has been emailed to us, or did you hand it out at the...
I handed it out, and Beth has it. I'm happy to give
okay.
you...
Okay. I wasn't here, so I didn't... I would like your copy if you want to give it to me. Or if Beth has it, she could email it to me. Thank you. Sorry. Sue Schrader, and then Laura Fleming.
Good evening, and I apologize. I was under the impression we had 3 minutes, so... That being said, my name is Susan Schrader. I've lived in Juneau 28 years, and I currently reside at 2611 John Street in West Juneau. Have any of you here tonight heard of the magic pipe? Okay, it is not something you're going to find at one of the pot shops in Juneau. The magic pipe is a device that was named by the crew aboard a Princess cruise ship. It's a device that circumvents not only water cleaning mechanisms aboard the ship, but also mechanisms that monitor the amount of oil that's in the discharged water. And this term came to light during an investigation by the Federal Justice Department of Princess Cruise Lines and its parent company, Carnival Corporation, that resulted in June 3rd, just a few weeks ago, in a $20 million fine that was levied against Carnival Corporation for polluting. Now, this comes on the back of a $40 million fine that Carnival was had to pay in a 2016 case. So despite that fine, in the last 3 years, they have continued dumping and falsifying reports. And in fact, last September, 9 months ago, the Westerdam dumped 26,000 gallons of gray water into Glacier Bay National Park illegally last September. Okay? That ship, the Westerdam, you can see Thursday morning. Come on down to the dock. About 800 hours, she'll be pulling in. She's here every Thursday. So do you, as our elected officials, have knowledge of this case? It was reported heavily in the New York Times and the Miami Herald. I'll be more than happy to get you those internet links. Do you, as our elected officials, realize that Carnival Corporation has not only the Princess cruise ships and the Carnival cruise ships, but all of the Holland America cruise ships? So that's pretty much the majority of the big ships that come into Juneau. So what can you do? First thing I would suggest is that you lobby the governor to ensure that he does not do a line item veto on the Ocean Rangers program. Something every one of you can do tomorrow morning is pick up the phone and call the governor. The other thing you can do is direct the mayor and the city manager to make totally clear in writing to Carnival Corporation that illegal dumping in state or federal waters in Alaska will not be tolerated. If their ships continue to pollute, they are not welcome in Juneau. One more thing.
Okay.
And lastly, I strongly think it is time for you to take, every one of you, to take a leadership role in dealing with the cruise industry. Despite what Wynn Greening has written in the Juneau Empire, the industry is not CBJ's business partner. Their ships are guests in our community. Please require them to act like guests and respect our city.
Okay? Any questions? Thank you very much. Laura Fleming, then Brian Doherty.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Baraszewski and members of the Assembly. Thanks for serving on the Assembly. My name is Laura Fleming. I live at 6737 Marguerite Street in Bonnie Bray Subdivision on North Douglas. I am here to ask you to do what you can do to hold the line on the levels of high-volume cruise ship industry tourism in our area. The things that make Juneau a world-class visitor destination include some of the things that inspired many of us to make this place our home. unsurpassed natural beauty, clean air, clean water, an uncrowded community of friendly people who behave in a civilized way to one another. These qualities are increasingly rare in our world, and they're qualities that are being swiftly eroded by the unbridled growth of high-volume cruise ship traffic. Globally, the industry is enjoying unprecedented popularity and growth. Alaska's experienced double-digit growth just in the last couple years, and the orders for ever bigger ships cannot be met fast enough. This is a global phenomenon, and we're just part of it. The foreign flagships are making money hand over fist and intend to expand operations over the years to come. They generate air and water pollution and have a history of violating laws designed to protect air and water quality. The shore-based activities of the passengers also generate traffic by diesel and gas-burning machines as the tourists take to the air, to the water, and to the road to explore. I live in North Douglas. I cycle on North Douglas. I walk on North Douglas Highway, and I'm opposed to more traffic on the North Douglas Highway, especially on Fish Creek Road, and opposed to higher volumes of commercial tour activity. So I'd like to see the CBJ increase user fees and taxes on this industry, and I'd like to see the CBJ control the size and number of cruise ships calling here during the half of the year that now constitutes the cruise ship season. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? No. We're good. No one's raising their hand. Brian Doherty, Kim Metcalf, and then Kirby Day.
Hello, my name's Brian Doherty. I reside at 418 7th Street. I only have 2 minutes, so I'm going to be brief and to the point. Tourism is a major industry and should be subject to zoning laws like all other industries. Specifically, there should be areas zoned for non-commercial use only. These non-commercial use zones should include recreational areas as well as neighborhoods. The goal would be to balance the needs of permanent residents with those of visitors. I am sure many of you have heard local residents say they don't go downtown during the tourist season, or they avoid the glacier for the same reason. I think all of us take it for granted that there are beautiful places to go to avoid the tourist traffic, but that assumption is a dangerous one, because there is currently nothing to protect those areas from commercial exploitation, especially when the number of tourists keep growing. 300,000 more this year, a boat that comes next year that brings 5,000 a day, an additional boat. Last year, for the first time, for instance, tour operators drove vans of fishermen and deposited them on along the beaches on Thane Road. It was a total eye-opener. From basically the rock dump almost to Fish Creek, or Sheep Creek rather, every 15 feet there was a fisherman. And this is local use area, you know. They have every right to do that because we don't have any zoning or anything else to stop them from doing that. This year I've seen tours show up at Sandy Beach, you know. So, you know, that's a heavily used local park, you know, and more people are going to come. What's our cap? What's our limit? What about our lifestyle here? So when we look at zoning, if you look at the glacier, and the glacier area is heavily used, then make Montana Creek and Thunder Mountain non-commercial. Preserve it so that we who live there can enjoy our lives. There's many examples. Mount Roberts, I'll be really quick. Mount Roberts is heavily used. Preserve Perseverance Trail as non-commercial. The city assembly needs to be more proactive, and the idea to zone areas as non-commercial use is a good place to start. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Doherty? No? Thank you. Kim Metcalf and then Kirby Day.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor and members of the Assembly. My name is Kim Metcalf. I live at 730 Gold Street. I want to say, first of all, I love Brian Doherty's idea of zoning for non-commercial areas to make it really clear where commercial cruise ship tourists can go. But I'm here to update you on Basin Road traffic. It's bad. There is too much traffic on the narrow road that has a number of blind corners. Very few people drive the speed limit, which is 10 miles an hour on the road and 5 miles an hour on the bridges. I've taken to walking, or when I go running, I run in front of the vehicles, which may not be the smartest thing to do, but it does slow them down. And I have friends that are doing the same thing, because there's no other way to get people to slow down on that road. I wish the Juneau Police Department would go up there. It would be a great place for them to write a few tickets and make some money for the city and borough. And once again, I'm advocating for closing the gate that's situated near the Mount Roberts trailhead. I think that if that was closed, then a lot fewer people would use the road. They can park in Cope Park. There's plenty of parking down there. And they could walk the Christopher Trail up to the Flume. There's a dog park in Cope Park. I don't know if people are really aware of that. I think it'd be a good place for people to take their dogs, an alternative to Basin Road. And another thing is, I hope you'll follow through with investigating ways of capping industrial cruise ship tourism. It's ruining my way of life, and I've heard from so many people since we started addressing this issue again for, I've been doing it for well over 20 years. But we live here, and we pay property taxes. I think when you think about how much I as an individual pay compared to tourism passenger fees, I pay a whole lot more than tourists that come here. So I really want you to look into this and follow through on what your constituents have asked you to do, which is to investigate ways of capping industrial cruise ship tourism. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Ms. Hale?
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. I'd like to just respond to this group of people that has come before us and expressed your concerns, and I really appreciate it. And I believe it was at the recent Committee of the Whole meeting where Deputy Mayor Gladyszewski was bringing up the possibility of convening some way for us to systematically look at this, whether it be a task force or a special committee, something like that. So it's definitely something that is in our minds, and we really appreciate what you're saying. We move slowly, and I apologize for that. I've also noticed that Ketchikan has recently convened some form of group to look at tourism and its effects on Ketchikan. So we have some models in Southeast Alaska, and I'm also seeing some articles kind of worldwide discussing this concept of over-tourism and, you know, the impacts on different communities. So I think that we will be following up. I just can't say exactly when and how. So I just want to appreciate your bringing your concerns to us.
Well, thank you. But, this and a group should discuss it would be good. But I can tell you from past experience, that goes on for a long time and nothing gets done. So I would like, we are at a turning point here with days where we have over 20,000 people, 27,000 one day. I mean, that is nuts. The safety concerns alone should make the Assembly want to act on this. This is a health and safety issue as well as just driving your residents crazy. So,
thank you. Kirby Day.
Good evening. Kirby Day, 1302 Tarn Court. Hi. I thought I'd just... representing Tourism Best Management Practices, Princess and Holland America Group, just kind of a touch base 2 months into the season. Heard a lot of things tonight that, you know, I understand and we are willing to work on. I think I've shared a lot of the TBMP hotline calls and the follow-up with some of you, and I think that's working like we expect it to. We're looking forward to middle of July, when I think we're going to get a pilot program on Franklin Street that will put some stanchions along the sidewalk to help lead people to crosswalks, which I think will help a lot. And if that works well, we're hoping that will be in place all through South Franklin next year. The DOT project is going pretty good, better than we thought. They've done a good job organizing, and the tour industry worked hard in creating some new buffers in between their tours so that they could help alleviate some of that traffic. We want to continue to work with the community as the industry and as TBMP. And we are not adverse to talk about capacity and how we get to a capacity that's comfortable in the community. We're not adverse to that. And we should. And the other ports in the world that I manage in Sweden and Norway were having those same discussions. So we want to continue to work through the process. We want to continue to work with city management, residents, the assembly, and through TBMP, and make this, like I've said, a great place to live and a great place to visit. We have that opportunity. A couple of points. The increase this year is about 150 to 160,000 passengers. Those 22,000 passenger or person days are ships that are hot berthing, so they're not here at the same time, and that also includes crew, of which about 30% get off the ship. And Sandy Beach, if there's tours going to organized tours going to Sandy Beach, I want to know, because it's on the list as not a commercial destination. So use the hotline. Call me directly, because we can put the stops to that, because they're not supposed to be going there with commercial tours. So I'm here to answer questions. I'm here to work with you, and we want to work with the community. We've worked with Kim and Paula and a lot of people over a lot of years. Maybe we haven't solved every problem the entire time, but we're willing to work at it. So if you've got questions, I'm happy to answer them. Questions? Otherwise, thank you.
Hold on. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Day. One, there are organized tours going on at Sandy Beach. I run into them fairly frequently because I go there, so I figured it was something that you already knew about. Actually, at the beginning of the year, they had whoever was giving the tour wearing like a sourdough outfit with a really phony beard. To the point where it wasn't cute. The other question that I have is some of the people who spoke tonight have very specific complaints. Okay. And I know that you're very active with the tourism best management practices, but do you have any specifics to address those specific complaints, such as, say, for example, Basin Road?
I've been working with the tour operator, and they have a program by which it's a self-drive excursion, or you can just take the Jeep for 4 hours and do whatever you want to. They have a number of suggestions on what you can do. One of them includes Basin Road, and they provide a gold pan if you want a gold pan. Since April 28th, they started asking people, giving them the option to opt out of that or any other opportunity that's on that list. I talked to the operator today, and currently about 55% of their tours are choosing to go to Basin Road, and on the average that is between 5 and 6 Jeeps a day. And so they should be driving the speed limit. They've posted it on the dash. I should be driving the speed limit up there. Taxi should be driving the speed limit. Rental cars should be driving the speed limit. Residents should be driving the speed limit. And I support Kim 100% in that. You should. That's a narrow road, and you should drive the speed limit and be safe. But I did talk to the operator today, and that's where he is with that program.
And you've been giving the same amount of care to the other specific complaints that have come up, such as traffic on Thane Road, that sort of thing.
Yes, and I think then Thane Road, I think Paula may know, the only organized tour going down there now is Jerry Harmon's tour at the mine, and what's the other one?
And the sled dogs.
And I believe both of those are conducted in vans, 15 passenger vans.
Yes.
Sorry. Okay. Wait.
But yes.
Maybe you guys could get together.
But to answer your question, yes. And I'm going to follow up Sandy Beach and the not so good beard guy and find out who that is, because that's been on the list for a number of years. There should be no organized commercial activity at Sandy Beach.
Thank
so
you.
We're willing to work hard with the community. We're willing to work with you, and I say make this work to the best of our ability, and as well not afraid to talk about numbers. We need to do that. I agree.
Ms. Hale.
Thank you. It has slipped my mind. Must have been a lie, as my grandmother always said.
Oh, no. Anyone else?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. King. Just to respond to what you said earlier about we talked about figuring out a holding environment for these conversations. It's obviously not going to happen, by motion to it's going to take some work. The last thing the Assembly did on this issue was when the tourism management plan, when Paula was talking about collaboration doing, the Assembly passed some policies. And we could start with those and see if those are still useful. They're old, but I mean, we need to start somewhere. So that's just an idea. As we said, we're starting to talk about what we could, how we could deal with it. So thank you.
Madam Deputy Mayor,
yes.
I remember.
You remember.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question for Ms. Cosgrove. I always mess up saying your title, so I'll just say Ms. Cosgrove. Just wondering, is it possible for JPD to station some officers at some periods of time on Basin Road and write some tickets?
Through the chair, Ms. Hale, I can certainly find out what staff availability is. I live and recreate downtown a lot. I noticed they did have one of the flashing speed signs up there recently, reminding people of how fast they were going. But I can certainly see if the chief can put some officers up there as time allows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know resources are limited. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Now to the consent agenda. Ms. Becker.
Thank you. I move that we approve the consent agenda with the...
Ms. Becker is...
Well, we have public requests for agenda changes first before we start moving the agenda.
Oh, sorry. I just read the big big letters, not the little letters. Is there anyone in the audience that wants to take something off the consent agenda? If there's an item you want to talk about that's on the consent agenda, now is the time to say so. Anyone in the audience that'd like to pull an item from the consent agenda? Yes, ma'am?
G is,
so G is on the consent agenda. It's to introduce the item, and it's then to, it will then be referred to the Committee of the Whole before it comes back to the Assembly. So it's being introduced. So this is just an ordinance for introduction, so there's no comment. Is that right?
Correct. There's no comment, and the public is not allowed to change an ordinance that's set for introduction.
Right. So it's going to be so the process is it will be introduced. Your opportunity to talk about it will be when we take it up, and possibly, and the next time we'll discuss it will be at the Committee of the Whole on July 8th.
Madam Deputy Mayor?
Yes.
And perhaps we can explain, when we discuss it at the Committee of the Whole meeting, that's just for the Assembly members to discuss it, and then it will come back to the same group of people meeting as the Assembly, and that's when we'll take public testimony.
And you can always send a public testimony in via writing, anytime.
And it's also a good idea to attend that Committee of the Whole meeting because you can hear what people are asking and considering.
Okay.
This was not...
No, it was not pulled. It was just changed where it would go. So, and so any Assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Mr. Jones.
Thank you. I would like, I'd like to pull from item 3 transfers, item 3C, transfer T1020. I'd like to pull that from the consent agenda, please.
So I don't know which item 3, which one?
Page 7.
3, item C on page 7. Transfer T1020.
Ah, okay, the entire thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it's all one order.
Transfer C, page 7 of, on page 7. Okay. That's removed from the consent agenda. Anybody else? Okay, Ms. Becker.
Can you keep us straight now? Thank you. I move that we adopt the consent agenda with the removal of item C on page 7 and ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing no objection, that's approved. Then we'll go to item C, transfer T1020. Madam Clerk?
Okay.
transfer T-1020, a transfer of $642,504 from existing Capital Harbor projects, including Statter Harbor Loading Facility, CIP H51-093, and from the Taku Harbor Deferred Maintenance, CIP H51-109, and from the Statter Harbor Breakwater Safety, CIP H51-106, to the Statter Improvement Phase 3, CIP H51-105, and to the Amalga Fish Cleaning Station, CIP H51-105, and to the ABMS Maintenance and Improvement, CIP H51-117.
Madam Cosgrove.
That was perfect. Transferring a total of $642,504 from three different projects into three other projects. The funds consist of $139,919 of sales tax funds and $502,585 of Harbor Fund balance funds. The projects from which the funds will be transferred are complete, and this action will close those accounts. The projects to which the funds will be added are currently in progress. The breakdown of the specific actions is as follows. From the Statter Harbor Loading Facility, CIP, $139,919. From the Taku Harbor Deferred Maintenance, CIP, $140,124. From the Statter Harbor Breakwater Safety, CIP, $342,461. To the Statter Harbor Improvements, Phase 3, $200,000. Amalga Fish Cleaning Station, $140,124, and to the ABMS Maintenance and Improvements, $235,000. The Docks and Harbors Board reviewed and recommended approval of this request at its May 30, 2019 regular public meeting. I recommend this transfer be approved.
And you'll note that we received additional information in an email about this today. Is there any public comment on this item? Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. Two things. First, in the manager's report, it said that two CIP H51-108 Statter Harbor Improvement, $200,000. In the actual transfer ordinance, it was page 103 in our packet. It says $267,380. So there's an anomaly there. But my major concern is with the $140,124 to the Amalga Fish Cleaning Station. And in the manager's report, there was no description of what that money was going to be used for. In Mr. Bartholomew's email to us earlier today, it talked about it's only planned for the use of the funding for Amalga to complete additional public process. If any future project is authorized, the funding would be used to match Fish and Game Department. And my real objection to this is that the citizens of Amalga have been concerned about this. They have testified before the Docks and Harbors Board. Docks and Harbors has had at least two other public meetings. The citizens out there continue to be opposed. I don't know what additional public process there is. There may well be additional process to replan, to re-engineer, to do all those things, but I just feel that right now the people of Amalga have spoken and they basically don't want the project. They don't want the fish cleaning station there. And I don't see a lot of value, but not having sat in Docks and Harbors meeting in terms of additional public process. And so I would like to recommend an amendment to the transfer to not allow the transfer H51105, the $140,000 to the Imauga Fish Cleaning Station. And I would like to see that stricken. The money that it would come from will remain. And if the Dockson Harbors Board comes up with a plan that they can justify, then I think they can come back to the Assembly. So I just don't think that's a well-justified transfer at this point.
Madam Deputy Manager, my understanding was that that money needed to be closed out, and the reason it was going to Imauga was because it was fish and money that came from Fish and Game, and it needed to go in another eligible project. So that's why. That was my understanding. Is that correct? Is that not right?
If I might, there's been a slight correction since earlier in the day, and it is not correct. It is Harbor Fund balance, I believe. Mr. Gillette is here, and he can address Mr. Jones's specific concerns about why the proposal was to move it from one CIP to the other, if that would be beneficial to the Assembly.
Mr. Gillette.
My name is Gary Gillette. I'm a Dockson Harbor's Port Engineer. The Taku Harbor project started a number of years ago, and this money from Harbor's Fund, approximately $140,000, was a little more than that, was used to start the project, get some design going, and then we received a grant from Fish and Game to do the construction, and we didn't know we were going to get that till after we had started the fund. So the money that's left here was actually Harbor's money after we had used the required match from what we had originally put in there. We felt that because it is Harbor-related and similar projects that would have Fish and Game funding, that we'd move it to the Imauga Harbor project for now. We actually are in the red right now in this Imauga Harbor H51105. Because the Assembly directed us to go out and seek more public a process, and we hired our consultants, P&D, to put together that process. We held a public meeting out at the library. They did more research on the project from some of the comments that we heard, and they wrapped it up, their report and stuff, to the Harbor Board last month. And then the Harbor Board decided to send it to the Ops and Planning Committee, who looked at it last Wednesday. And after hearing and listening to the comments, it appeared that the number one issue that the residents had out there had to do with the additional cleaning stations. They said that the one cleaning station caused some issues that they were concerned about, that adding more would exacerbate that. So the Ops Planning Committee recommended to the full board, which meets Thursday night to consider this, that they move forward with construction of the float to reduce congestion and efficiencies, but leave only the existing cleaning station there, not add new fish cleaning stations. So that was the Ops Planning Committee, which essentially is a committee of the whole, it was the recommendation that goes before the board Thursday evening. And what we felt and what we're proposing is to transfer that money to the H51105, basically to park it there so we can pay our bills that we've incurred already for the public process and to get us through the Harbor Board meeting to see what that direction is. We'll only spend the money on what we need to do that public process that we are directed to do. If the board determines that the project should be stopped, we'll stop, pay our bills, and we will inform Fish and Game that we don't want the grant, and the money that we have left will transfer back to the Harbor Fund. If the board recommends to move forward with the project as the Ops Committee recommended, which would be to build the float but not change the fish cleaning station, then we would be back in front of the assembly to ask to appropriate the grant that's already been given to Docks and Harbors. And if the assembly agrees, then we'd move forward finish the design, and go out to bid and build the project. So there's still process left, and there's still opportunities to either approve or disapprove going forward with the project out there.
Thank you, Mr. Gillette. Any other questions for Mr. Gillette? Mr. Jones.
Thank you.
About this transfer.
Yes. What I understand from the press was that the citizens of Malaga Harbor area felt that extending the dock was acceptable if it went out on a straight line, and that meant demolishing that big rock.
Mr. Jones, that's about the project, not about the transfer of the money.
Well, it seems to me that they want to transfer the money to be able to proceed with a project that Malaga Harbor doesn't want. So anyway, I will stop if that's your ruling.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Beckman.
Thank you, Mr. Gillette, for giving that. My notes on this was much shorter than what you said, so I appreciate your vision. The one thing that I think is important to remember is that not everyone at Malaga Harbor is against this project. There are people who use the cleaning area, and they want it to stay. So I think this extension was sort of a compromise by Docks and, well, they haven't, Docks and Harbor staff approved it yet, by the Ops Committee. It's not that everyone's opposed to it. So
okay.
I think that's important to know. It's like everything that we hear. There's always a few people who aren't on the right side, or they are on the right side.
So okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Becker.
That discussion was out of order.
Yes, Mr. Jones, you're correct. This isn't about the merits of the Malaga Fish Cleaning Project. Right at this point, we will eventually get to that. This is about the transfer of funds, and it's the assembly, whether or not the assembly wants to do that at this time. Ms. Cosgrove.
Madam Deputy Mayor, I may be complicating your life or making it easier. Mr. Jones is correct. There is an inconsistency in the numbers, and our finance team is suggesting that we pull the transfer off the agenda so that we can correct the supporting documentation and resubmit it.
Okay.
Our apologies for the inconsistency.
We will do that. Do we need a motion for that? How does that work? We were going to, Mr. Palmer.
So because this was pulled from consent, it would be best if this was just removed from the agenda, and the plan is to reintroduce it at the next regular assembly meeting.
Right, but do we need a motion for that?
Yes.
Would someone? Okay. There you go. Thank you. And any objection to that motion? Okay, thank you very much. So now to public hearing, item A, Madam Clerk.
Resolution 2855, a resolution renaming the historic Indian Village located on Willoughby Avenue as the Ock Village District.
Ms. Cosgrove.
The Occoquan Cultural Heritage and Land Council requested that CBJ rename the Willoughby District to the Ock Village District. The renaming of the district acknowledges the historical and ongoing settlement of the Ock people in this area. Staff have worked with representatives of the Ock community to assure that the language of the resolution and the boundaries of the map designating the district are appropriate. The Ock Village District name will be incorporated into the wayfinding and downtown blueprint projects. The Assembly Committee of the Whole heard this issue at its February 4, 2019, and June 10, 2019 meetings and moved this resolution for public hearing and action at the next regular Assembly meeting. With us this evening is Ms. Fran Houston. She is a representative of the Occoquan peoples, and she is here to say a few words to the Assembly if you should so desire. And I will just close by saying that I recommend the resolution be adopted.
Thank you. Ms. Houston, would you like to address the Assembly, or you don't have to, but.
Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
I think I can do this in 2 minutes. It was brought to our attention, you know, with the Occoquans. I did contact family members, and they were all tickled pink that this was going to come about. We voted on it, and we were all in favor of it being changed to the Ok Indian Village. It's very appropriate because of, you know, if you read the history, the Tlingit people came from Ok Bay, Ok Rek area, and they came into this area in the 1800s because the mining wanted the menfolk to work. So they settled there at, everybody calls it the Juno Indian Village. Of course, it had many, many names. So as speaking on behalf of the Okwans, where we were all in favor, and what I should have done before is introduce myself properly. My name is Fran Houston. I'm Raven Dog Salmon from the Yuktahit, the Dipper House. My Tlingit name is Sekuni. My mother is Rosa Miller, and she's our tribal leader, and she has more or less stepped down, and she assigned me to be the tribal spokesperson for the Okwans. So I thank you very much on bringing it to our attention, and we are very, very happy to change the name of Willoughby District to Ok Indian Village. Gulchish.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming. Ms. Hale has a question.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ms. Houston?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you. My question, and I don't know if it's a question or if it's a proposal, I'd like to make a slight change to the language to make it more clear.
Sure. That's not a question for Ms. Houston.
No.
Is it?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Ms. Hale, anybody else like to speak on this item? We'll close public testimony. Ms. Hale.
Thank you. In Section 1, and this is on page 104, the resolution, it currently is a little confusing, and so it currently reads that the historic Ok Indian Village located on Willoughby Avenue is hereby named the Ok Village District, but the map on the next page shows the whole district that has been referred to lately as the Willoughby District, and I think our intent is to call that the Ok Village District. So I would propose a slight change to the language so it says the word area after the first village, that the historic Ok Indian Village area located on Willoughby Avenue and depicted on the enclosed map is hereby named the Ok Village District. And I believe that is our intent.
So that's a motion. Is there any objection to that language? I think that makes it clearer. No, I hear no objection. Thank you, Ms. Hale.
Thank you.
So now the resolution 2855 is before us with the change adopted, suggested by Ms. Hale. Any comments? Did you, Ms. Hale, move the resolution?
Yes, I would move resolution 2855, a resolution renaming the historic Ok Indian Village located on Willoughby Avenue and the district as the Ok Village District. And I appreciate, and I ask for unanimous consent, and I appreciate the request.
Any objection? Hearing nothing, so ordered. That is terrific. Unanimous consent.
Gunorshish.
Yay. Madam Clerk, item B.
Ordinance 2019-21, an ordinance amending ordinance serial number 2012-44 regarding the final series of general obligation bonds authorized thereunder.
Madam Cosgrove. Ms. Cosgrove.
This ordinance amends Ordinance 2012-44, adopted on December 17, 2012, authorizing the issuance of not to exceed $25 million of general obligation or GO bonds. The purpose of the bonds is to fund various voter-approved capital projects, including the airport terminal. There are a number of items that are being amended, and they're listed there in the manager's report. CBJ has already sold in three separate bond sale transactions, $19.05 million of 20-year general obligation bonds, the remaining $5.95 million of authorized bonds are being sold to provide partial funding for the Airport North Terminal Reconstruction Project. This ordinance was discussed at the June 12th Assembly Finance Committee meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this item, Ordinance 2019-21? Hearing none, to the Assembly for action. Anybody? Ms. Dream.
I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-21 and ask unanimous consent.
Okay, so ordered. Hearing no objection. Item C, Ordinance 2019-22.
Ordinance 2019-22, an ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of airport revenue bonds in one or more series in the aggregate principal amount of not to exceed $18 million, providing for the form and terms of the bonds, providing a method of payment, therefore, and reserving the right to issue revenue bonds on a parity with the bonds upon compliance with certain conditions.
This ordinance authorizes the issuance of not to exceed $18 million of airport revenue bonds. The purpose of the bonds is to partially fund the Airport North Terminal project. The funding sources to repay the bonds and interest are airport passenger facility charges and Federal Aviation Administration Airport Improvement Program grants. The ordinance provides for the issuance of 7-year bonds with no early call provision. Both governmental purpose and AMT, which are private activity bonds, will be sold based on bond council guidance. This ordinance was discussed at the June 12th Assembly Finance Committee meeting.
Is there anyone that would like to testify on this item? Hearing none, public testimony is closed. To the Assembly for action, Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-22. And I recommend unanimous consent.
Hearing no objection, that is adopted. Thank you very much. Item D, Ordinance 2019-25.
Ordinance 2019-25, an ordinance amending the land use maps of the comprehensive plan to change the land use designation of Thunder Mountain lots 10, 12, and a fraction of 11 between 8476 and 8479 Thunder Mountain Road, from urban low-density residential to medium-density residential.
Madam Manager.
Ordinance 2019-25 and 2019-26 are the result of a property owner's request to rezone three parcels associated with and located adjacent to the Thunder Mountain Mobile Home Park. A rezone is a legislative tool to manage land use development by categorically identifying what types of land uses are allowed and what types are prohibited. A rezone from D5 to DD18 would allow more intensive development, like higher density apartments and mobile home parks. The Planning Commission in March recommended rezoning the three parcels from D5 to D18. CBJ Code 4975120 requires a rezone to be in substantial conformance with the land use maps of the Comprehensive Plan. The current maps of the Comprehensive Plan designate the three parcels as urban low density residential, which limits density at 6 units per acre. Because D18 allows densities at 18 units per acre, which is in excess of what the Comprehensive Plan land use maps currently allow, the Planning Commission in May considered and recommended amending the Comprehensive Plan land use map for lots 8479, 8477, and 8476 Thunder Mountain Road from urban low-density residential to medium-density residential. The medium-density residential designation is more appropriate than the urban low-density residential designation because the urban low-density residential designation was originally an error because these three properties have been jointly used with the adjacent mobile home park. If the Assembly adopts this ordinance, then the following ordinance would be in substantial conformity with the medium-density residential designation of the maps of the Comprehensive Plan. The Planning Commission recommended the Assembly adopt this ordinance at its regular meeting on May 14, 2019, and the Lands Committee reviewed this ordinance at its meeting on June 10, 2019. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you. Would anyone like to testify on this item? Seeing none, to the Assembly for Action, Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-25, amending the land use of the land use maps of the comprehensive plans, change the land use designation of Thunder Mountain lots 10, 12, and a fraction of 11 on Thunder Mountain Road from urban low density residential to medium density residential. And I ask for unanimous consent.
Hearing no objection, that is adopted. Thank you. Item E, Ordinance 2019-26. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2019-26, an ordinance amending the official zoning maps of the city and borough to rezone Thunder Mountain lots 10, 12, and a fraction of 11 between 8476 and 8479 Thunder Mountain Road from D5 to D18.
Madam Manager.
This is the companion ordinance. This ordinance would rezone 8479, 8477, and 8476 Thunder Mountain Road from D5 to D18. The existing land uses include storage, single-family home, water well, office, mobile home, empty former retail building, and an empty former laundromat. The site has historically been associated with the Thunder Mountain Mobile Home Park, which is zoned D18. The applicant seeks to expand that zoning district to include these properties to address existing non-conforming uses and introduce higher density development. The Planning Commission and Assembly are required to base findings off of the Comprehensive Plan's land use maps, and upon adoption of Ordinance 2019-25, the proposed rezone would conform to the land use maps of the Comprehensive Plan. For example, the medium density residential designation allows for residential development at densities between 5 and 20 units per acre. This ordinance would rezone the three lots to D18, which allows for multifamily residential development up to 18 units per acre. The Planning Commission recommended the Assembly rezone these three parcels at its regular meeting on March 26, 2019. The Lands Committee reviewed this ordinance at its meeting on June 10, 2019. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you very much. Would anyone like to testify on this item? Hearing none, back to the Assembly. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the Assembly approve Ordinance 2019-26 and ask unanimous consent.
Hearing no objection, that is adopted. Item F, Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2018-11AN, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $500,000 as partial funding for the Bartlett Regional Hospital Crisis Stabilization Capital Improvement Project. Grant funding provided by the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services.
Madam Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate $500,000 from an Alaska Department of Health and Social Services grant to supplement the FY20 CIP for the Bartlett Regional Hospital Crisis Stabilization Project. The additional $500,000 will increase the funds in the CIP to $4 million. The appropriation will fund the planning and design of the Crisis Stabilization Project. This appropriation was approved by the Bartlett Regional Hospital Board on November 5, 2018. The Public Works and Facilities Committee forwarded this appropriation for approval by the Assembly on May 20th, 2019. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Would there anyone like to speak on this ordinance? Seeing none, back to the Assembly, Ms. Hughes-Candies.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. I would move Ordinance 2018-11AN and ask unanimous consent.
Seeing no objection, that's adopted. Thank you very much. Madam Manager, is there any unfinished business, new business, or staff reports?
Madam Deputy Mayor, there is not.
Thank you very much. Now we're to the Assembly reports. The Mayor reports that she's having a wonderful time and that she invites you all to Canada Day, July 1st, in Whitehorse. She's going with us, some members of a GPD, so everybody's invited. I probably get to march in the parade. And then I have for a report about the Committee of the Whole. A lot of the items of the Committee of the Whole were before the Assembly today, renaming the Willoughby District, on-site consumption of marijuana, senior housing tax abatement, all were introduced. and also the introduction of the ordinance regarding amending the land use code to extend the sunset date for the overlay district. The items that are still being worked on is the chronic nuisance property ordinance. We asked some questions. There's more work for that. And then we also heard from the Eagle Crest Board about their Eagle Crest financial stability planning and the Adventure Center concept, and asked them to go forth and investigate those possibilities. So that's what happened at the Committee of the Whole on the June 10th. The next Committee of the Whole is July 8th. The big item on that agenda will be Centennial Hall and the Jack, and marijuana will be on it as well, and maybe something else. I was going to ask about slowing down on Basin Road, about police on the Basin Road, but you've already talked about that. The other question I had was about trash pickup, and I noticed in my neighborhood recently there's a lot of people putting out their trash way early, like 6 p.m. the night before. So at least a dozen people. So I would ask that the community service officers do more outreach, and I think people are forgetting. I just noticed it. Our trash pickup day was today, and there were a whole lot of trash cans out last night. So,
thank you. We'll follow up.
Who has things they want to say? Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Lands Committee, we recommend that the CBJ bid on the Sub 4L lot, C1. And we also have had a motion of support for the sale and easement of part of Glacier Highway, the Lemon Creek, Vanderbilt Hill toward Walmart property, and the part below Greenwich Road will be a roundabout. I think it's really going to be great. That's what they end up doing. The chamber has met at the Brodovich Hall for couple of weeks. They'll go back to the Elks Club on July 11th. And in the last chamber meeting, Carl Yucatel spoke about Docks and Harbors issues. Docks and Harbors, Mr. Gillette gave you that report, and Mr. Jones is right. I did get off of the track, and I want to reprimand.
Don't do it again. How about that?
That's pretty hard. Pretty hard for me to promise that one. But anyway, Mr. Gillette did a good job on that one. And we did, Docks and Harbors did approve, this is on the operations meeting, ops meeting, so it all has to go to the Docks and Harbors board. But they did approve a new tank farm for Delta Western. Campus Council's not met for a while, but there is a UAS Mariner game. It's UAS sponsors a suite at the stadium in Seattle, and people go down there and sit in that area and eat lots of food and watch a Mariner game, and that's going to be July 20th. And of any other things that I did, it didn't seem like it was too many exciting things, but I went to Gold Rush Days, and I thought that was very well handled, very nice, and very, very full. Huge turnout, great turnout. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. The Finance Committee last met on the 12th. We dealt with several of those issues tonight in terms of the airport bonds. Coming before us will be the result of our discussion on utility rates. Our next meeting is August 21st. And at that time, I'm hoping to bring back a suggested schedule and topics for our sustainability discussions. I'm meeting first part of July with finance and manager staff to begin looking at the issues that were raised during the Finance Committee. I've had one other suggestion come in. If any of you have any other suggestions on the sustainability, get them to me before July 1st. This Juneau School District met. Wasn't really a lot of topics of great discussion there. Their next meeting is August 13th. They don't meet in July. If anybody would like to attend, feel free. I'll be on my way to Fairbanks for the Marijuana Control Board meeting. Sort of some of the other things I've been doing, I've been going to most of the Downtown Blueprint planning group. They last met on the 6th. They meet again this Thursday, the 27th. They're starting a very long process. They have meetings scheduled out through end of November. They meet about, I think, once every third week, something like that. They'll be switching from the fire hall to the chamber after this meeting. And it's a slow process, but they're starting that work. I did participate in the How to Run for Office. I think the clerks and the League of Women Voters did a tremendous job. Wasn't as great a turnout this year as in the past, but I think it was well received by those who were there. The evaluations that came back were relatively very positive. The 9th through the 12th of July, I will be in Fairbanks for the Marijuana Control Board. And then on the 18th through the 31st of July, I'll be in Seattle, partly for my mom's memorial service over in Wenatchee and some downtime. So at this point, I do not intend to call into any meetings between the 18th and the 31st. I think in 7 years, I think I might miss my first assembly meeting. Other than that, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met just before this meeting, and we have some boards and committee recommendations. The Assembly, the Human Resources Committee recommends that the Assembly appoint Michelle Berlin to the Juneau Human Rights Commission, term beginning immediately, and then ending May 31st, 2021.
You've heard the motion. Is there any objection? So it's so ordered.
The Juneau Commission on Aging, Human Resources Committee recommends that the Assembly appoint Justin Jones to a term beginning immediately and ending 12/31/2021, and then Will Muldoon for a term beginning immediately and going to December 31st, 2020. I will point out that Justin Jones will be filling out the last several months of a vacant term, and then because it's within 6 months, the Human Resources Committee is recommending that he fill the next term also.
Okay, thank you. You've heard the motion. Is there any objection? If not, then so ordered. Mr. Edwardson?
Thank you. The Human Resources Committee recommends that the Assembly appoint Emily Haynes and Michelle Berlin to terms beginning immediately and then ending at December 31st, 2020 for Michelle Berlin and 2021 for Emily Haynes.
You've heard the motion. Is there any objection to the motion? If not, so ordered.
The Human Resources Committee recommends that the Assembly appoint Emily Haynes to the Board of Equalization for a term beginning immediately and ending December 31st, 2021.
Any objection to that motion? If not, so ordered.
Thank you. And the last thing for the Human Resources Committee is we received an annual report from the Juneau Human Rights Commission in writing. So they were just updating what their aims are and what they've done for the previous year. And just a note on our ongoing project to try to increase recruitment and retention for the boards and commissions, we finalized a survey that will be going out soon. That's it for my committee reports. And then, let's see. I attended the local emergency planning committee meeting on the 12th. Their next meeting is on July 10th. Probably the most notable thing is they changed the name and the mission of one of their subcommittees from developing a specific event each year into a committee that basically tries to shepherd all of their activities. So they kept largely the same committee members and just kind of changed the focus. Let's see. The airport committee did not meet between the last regular assembly meeting and now, although the finance committee did, we talked about what they talked about in depth on our previous, I think, finance meeting. And that's about it for me.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Ms. Treem.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. The Aquatics Board has not met since our last regular assembly meeting, but they are meeting tomorrow at 4 o'clock in room 224. And I expect that they'll be submitting their annual report at our next HRC meeting. Travel Juno Board met last Thursday, and they have three new directors who are filling expired seats, and those three new directors are Kirby Day, McHugh Pierre, and Risha Wilson. And I will keep this short, but I also want to report that I had the great pleasure of watching our fellow assembly member, Ms. Hugh Scandies, perform some stand-up comedy, and it was a real treat. She was delightful, and so was her brother, Corin.
Thank you. Sorry, I missed that. Ms. Hugh Scandies.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. I need to write down dates so I could say what date I went to these meetings, but I don't have them. But I'll tell you that the last Juno Commission on Aging meeting I went to, they're well on track with the survey, and the subcommittee is cooking right along, monitoring via email their process. It looks like they're hitting their dates to get the survey out on time. At the last meeting I attended, they had a program coordinator from Tlingit and Haida who was there and is a gentleman who was appointed to the commission this evening in the Human Resources Committee. So some nice overlap, seeing where they can find commonalities of programs, other organizations within the community, and how to extend their resources. So that was a good meeting. I missed the last meeting of the Downtown Business Association because they meet during work hours, and I can't always move my schedule around. But I anticipate meeting with the chair of that committee to find out how things are going there. I attended Pioneer Days as well. That was a lot of fun, and the second day got nice and sunny. I attended the Pride Picnic and some of the other Pride events that CIGLA hosted during the last week. That was very successful. And I also saw some of our fellow assembly members participating in the How to Run for Office workshop. And I did think the clerks and the League of Women Voters did a great job and appreciated the expertise of Mr. Jones and Ms. Hale. And did anyone else participate? I think that was it. And Mr. Edwardson, who was brilliant. I'm so sorry, Mr. Edwardson. I knew I did. That's all in my meeting or my report there. Sorry, get my foot in my mouth. Anyway.
Thank you very much. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. Yes, I participated as well, and it was really excellent in the How to Run for Office workshop. So Public Works and Facilities Committee last met on June 10th, and much of what we did in that meeting appeared on our consent agenda today, so I won't go into that. Our last special meeting on the new JAC and on Centennial Hall is tomorrow, June 25th at 5:30. We are in receipt of a letter from the new JAC partnership, kind of reiterating their request. They are requesting $7.5 million for the new JAC project, which was the same amount requested last year. At the meeting, we'll have a brief update on the new JAC and also an update on Centennial Hall and some of the information that MRV Architects has gained about Centennial Hall, as well as a draft proposal, a draft design of Centennial Hall. They went through several iterations. They had two public meetings. Right now, their estimate for the design that they've come up with at Centennial Hall is $15 million, and about $3 million of that would be road reconfiguration, so $14 million without the road reconfiguration. So we'll be talking about that tomorrow, and we will be taking public testimony at that meeting tomorrow. We'll have an update by Bruce Patello of the New Jack Project and 5:30, Paul Volkers, Minschritter Volkers. And our next Public Works meeting is on July 1st, and I expect that this also will be a topic on that July 1st meeting. At that point, we may forward information or requests on to the Committee of the Whole on July 8th. Hospital Board, I will miss tomorrow's board meeting because I will be having the Public Works meeting because I didn't get the Hospital Board meeting on my calendar in time, and then I double booked myself. So at the May 28th meeting, one really excellent topic at that May 28th meeting was a discussion of a multidisciplinary effort to reduce visits at the ER, but I think I talked about this on June 3rd, so I'm not going to go over that again. And Juneau Commission on Sustainability, to which I'm the assembly liaison, has been talking about heat pump project, recycling and compost, and future sustainability session planning. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kidd. Ms. Bryson.
Go ahead. What is the public comment on?
Public comment is on the new Jack proposal and on the Centennial Hall proposal, and that's tomorrow on June 25th. So the plan is that we're going to talk about those two proposals. We've had several meetings. We've had meetings first on the new Jack project, and then we said that we really needed to learn more about Centennial Hall, and so MRV Architects has had two meetings on the Centennial Hall project. So we want to put those back out to the public and then allow for public testimony on either of those projects before we either take them up at July 1st, at the July 1st meeting, or forward them on to the Committee of the Whole at the July 8th meeting. And it's where we may be moving with this then is a proposal for either or both of those items to go on the ballot in some form.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Ms. Becker.
So this is not information items. You expect there could be some action?
I don't expect there to be action at the June 25th meeting. It's information, but it's an opportunity for the public to weigh in on the information that's being presented. And then there will be, if this does go towards the ballot, for example, there will be opportunity for the public to comment later, at a later date. So this is really just giving the public an opportunity. And because we have that July 1st Public Works meeting, when Lands and Committee of the Whole will be moved to the July 8th meeting, at the Public Works Committee then we'll be able to respond to that public testimony that we get tomorrow on the 25th.
Thank you. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. On the 4th, PRAC met, and the only thing of relevance was the Bean family has requested to buy some parkland. And so it's raised an infill question because the neighborhoods around Juneau are designed with space left over. And it's come up a couple of times where citizens have wanted to purchase some of that adjoining property that was purposely left as open land in the design of the neighborhood. And so they are looking at setting up consistency on how they decide if they're going to allow for a partial sale of some of the infill land or not. And I have a feeling we're going to see more of this because it raised quite a bit of question. A person wants to buy a small section of a small unused piece of land that is technically designated parkland. And so they wanted to review that to make sure they had proper procedures going forward. On the morning of the 9th, I hosted a city field trip down the Menhall River. I had emergency manager Tom Matisse, 4 planning commissioners, 3 parks and rec advisory commissioners, and 2 city planners. And we were able to witness and discuss all of the erosion that has taken place. And there was actually an existing erosion mitigation project taking place right then and there while we were floating down it. So we believe we increased the city's erosion knowledge about the Menhall River, and we were able to see where the Oxbow blew out and started to erode the Brotherhood Bridge Trail. And so there's a lot more insight now that we've seen it from the river. Over 2 weeks, I met with both Bruce Patillo, Bob Banghart, and the First Things First group for everybody to chat with me about the new Jack project. That was interesting perspectives. And on the 22nd, I hosted for the sixth and final time the Gold Rush Day celebration. And this year I trained my two replacements, Ernie Helmer and Tessa Bryson, my 13-year-old. They took over for me. And so I had six wonderful years of emceeing Gold Rush Days, and I thought I'd hang out with you guys instead next year. So
thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Bryson. Sorry, Ms. Gold Rush Day and Pride. All of that sounds very fun. I was out of town. I have something because it says right here, presiding officer reports, and I'm the presiding officer for two appeals, Mountainside Estates versus Planning Commission. There were motions to supplement the record. We had decided to hear this appeal on the record, and there'll be an order issued tomorrow regarding those motions. And a reminder, the hearing is still scheduled for September 9th for the Mountainside appeal. The terraces at Lawson Creek, the Volunteers of America versus CBJ, the assessor filed a motion to dismiss that, and the VOA has opposed it, and I think the Assembly needs to they have not requested a hearing, so the Assembly needs to deliberate on that matter, and so we'll schedule an executive session for July 8th for that, to talk about that. And that's the presiding officer report that I have. Continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Is there anyone who wants to come and talk to the Assembly and hasn't done it yet? Okay, I don't see any of that. No executive session. And anybody else have anything they want to tell us or say? No, excellent. The Assembly meeting will be adjourned. Thank you very much.